any weekday morning is when I walk around the church, I often hear sounds of laughter, sounds of joy, and they come from our preschool. And I want to introduce to you Nan Conzie. Nan Conzie is our preschool director, and she's going to update us about some of the things in our preschool. And then we have a special music by our preschool students.
Preschool is so much more than letters and numbers and spelling your name, but I'm going to give you some numbers. 81. That's how many children come to the preschool every day. 81. 17. 17 is the number of our staff at the preschool who take their families and put them on the back burner of their heart to accept the families of others and give them love and support every day. 40. Whew. 40 years ago, I was 20. That's not the funny part. 40 years ago, St. Paul Preschool was created by y'all. 40 years is how long it takes to make a new generation, which is exactly what we have in the preschool, because in just a little bit, you're going to see that we have babies from the beginning of our preschool who are now bringing their babies to our preschool. And you'll see them singing. It's amazing. We even have a teacher who has been there for 40 years. And that's amazing. But I'm going to tell you the truth. St. Paul Preschool, every one of our staff is amazing. They come every day and fill the little ones with love and with learning. One of the fascinating parts, Shane loves walking through and hearing. I love going through and watching. I can hear the teachers trying to make a difference in these children's lives. They reach them and they teach them. And instead of educators, I like to think of them as educarers, because that's who they are. One of the techniques that we use down in the preschool is to try to stay positive. Ain't gonna lie, not always. But we try to stay positive. For example, don't run. You know what the children hear? Run. So we say, use walking feet. Don't hit. You know what they hear? Hit. So we say, use gentle hands. Kind of hard to believe? Okay, here we go. Don't think of an elephant. See? An elephant, see? Staying positive is what we're all about. My son sent me a TikTok video the other day, because I'm cool like that, like I know what TikTok is, but I did know how to push the button. And the whole TikTok was talking about things like this. And one of the things it told me was, when a downhill skier is going through trees, they don't say, watch out for the trees, watch out for the trees, watch out for the trees. They say, follow the path, follow the path, follow the path. Because if they continue to say, don't hit a tree, all they're going to see are the trees. Our preschool right now, the world, the United States, the city of Columbus, your family, our families, all have a lot of trees right now. We have a lot of trees, but we need to follow the path. So I encourage each of us to learn from our preschool teachers. Don't watch the trees. Those darn trees are getting really close. Choose to watch the path and take not one day at a time. If you can't do that, take one step at a time, because that's what our toddlers are doing. Oh, and always remember to choose each day. It will be. He thought it was for him. To choose each day to celebrate in some way. And today, we're celebrating our 40th birthday. And I hope that you will join us. Okay, we're gonna try to get our, thank you for the claps. We're gonna try to get our children to come up front. If there's a problem, if parents will bring them, grandparents will bring them, that's fine too. While we sing, and our teachers are coming up also, while we sing, we want y'all to sing along with us. I'm hoping you know Jesus loves me, And I'm hoping you know if you're happy and you know it. And then we're going to sing Happy Birthday. Okay? All the kiddos, let's meet up front. Grand finale. If everybody would please stand up, we'll sing Happy Birthday, Dear Preschool. Happy Birthday to you.
That's the future. That's what you need to see today. That's the future. As you're able, if you would stand, we'll join in the historic confession of the Christian Church. Would you please stand if you're able? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Holy Father, flesh and blood did not reveal thy name to us. Thy Holy Spirit, through thy word, Jesus Christ, revealed you as our Father. This morning there are many truths you would reveal to us if we would only become discerning. We face choices each day that proper discernment would serve to bless us as we make our choices. Give us a discerning heart that we may know thy way and walk in it. Who can know the breadth and depth of thy love unless thy love is revealed to us by thee? Who are the counselors who help shape thy will? There is no turning in thee. Thou art the same Father today, yesterday, and forever. Let us be still, attentive in thy presence, so that we may learn again for the first time the joy of our Father given from his own hands to his children. We pray, Lord, as we have been taught, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As you are able, would you stand as we sing 382, Have Thine Own Way. And remain standing for the scripture from 1 Kings 3, 7 through 9. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of thy people, whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people? This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The peace of Christ be with you. Take this moment to welcome one another and to register your attendance.
I do want to invite the children to come forward. So you having a good week?
Hey,
Mimsy. Hey, Mimsy. How you doing? I don't know. Well, he's probably sitting out there somewhere. So I need some help, all right? So do any of you have anything like this? Do you know what this is? Do you want to take a stab? I bet your parents are way. Well, you don't want to touch that. That's not. That's,
I think that's one of the electric things that broke window.
Well, yeah. No, this one didn't break in the storm. You know, this. Your parents are probably too young to have one of these. This is my hearing aid.
Papa has a hearing aid.
Your papa has a hearing aid. Yeah. Yeah. Point him out. That's
he
wears them in both ears. I tell you. Well, right now I only wear it in one ear. This goes in my left ear, and there are times and places where if I go out to eat or if I'm in a room that has a lot of talking and it's loud, I have to wear this in my left ear so that I can hear. But without it in my left ear, I pretty much can't do it. Now my right ear I can hear fine, but right now this is what I wear. It's a hearing aid, but there's something in the scripture that Dr. Cooper, Mr. What's that?
Can you hear
it? You're on my right side. I can hear you. If you were on my left side, I might not. And so it's hard for me to hear on my left ear. This ear I struggle with. This ear, it's perfect. So, but there's something in the New Testament that's a word that's called discernment. And discernment, well, this is my protection. It's my protective carry. And there's my battery. So I got to have, if it doesn't have the battery, it doesn't work.
It's
it's my case. That's right. Yeah. So there's a word in the New Testament that's called discernment. And you know how discernment, you know what the what that really means? It means to listen, not with your ears, but guess what? With your heart. Can you imagine if you had a hearing aid in your heart? That'd be crazy, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would... It could, that's right. You know what? In the New Testament, then, if we had hearing aids in our hearts, then the New Testament would say we would have perfect discernment, and we would be able to know what to do. So I know that your parents don't have these just yet, but I'm looking at some of them now. Your day's coming, particularly over in that area. So they might have to wear a hearing aid one day. And we want to hear with our ears, but what we really want to do is we want to learn to hear with our heart. And the way that we can do that, one way we can do that is by praying. So I want to invite you to bow your heads with me. Can you do that with me? And let's pray. Oh God, we give thanks for your grace and your mercy. I give thanks for those who sit with me. I pray, Lord, that the way that you speak to us sometimes is through our ears, but often it's through our heart. And so what we want to pray for these that sit with me is the ability to hear, the ability to discern, to know what to do and to when to do it, and to know, to hear that from your spirit. Watch over them, keep them safe, O God. Bless them, bless their families. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you, guys. If you would, bow your heads and let us pray. Oh God, as we move now to a different part of our worship service where what we want to do is engage the scripture lesson in such a way that it becomes the gospel, we know that that is impossible without the addition of your Spirit. So we pray for your Spirit to guide the reading and the hearing in such a way that something is planted deep down into our souls and it creates a harvest that is 20-fold or 40-fold, sometimes even 100-fold. This is what we pray. So with open hearts and open minds, we look to you, our rock and our redeemer, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Now, I want you to imagine that you are 20 years old. Now, for you, Nan, that's just 40 years ago. So it's really simple for you. But imagine that you're 20 years old. And you, for most people, some you have to think back a little bit. Maybe some you have to go forward just a hair. But you're 20 years old, so you're probably 2 years removed in our context from high school. Maybe you're in your second year of college. Maybe you've already started in the workforce. What you probably don't understand or know at this age is what do you want to do for the rest of your life? Most 20-year-olds that I meet have no clue what they want to do. Now, there might be an exception or two who know early on, but for most 20-year-olds, they're still trying to figure it out. But what they do know is they want freedom and independence. And so often in their rush for freedom and independence, it normally yields mistakes. And for good reason, that 20 years old, that part of a person that controls impulse control, that's still in the development stage. It's not fully formed at that age. And so when you mix in this overwhelming desire to be self-made and to stand on your own two feet and to make your own decisions with a little bit of lack of control, well, often that might yield mistakes. Add to the mix that you're now literally given the keys to a kingdom, which means you're in charge of it all. I mean, what do you do? I mean, what do you even hope for? I mean, you're 20 years old, you just become king or queen. I mean, what do you do? What do you want? This is Solomon, the one in our text. Solomon, upon receiving the keys to the kingdom, had a dream, and he was asked of God, "What do you want from me?" How do you answer that prayer? You want wealth? Riches? Longevity? Long life? How about power? Beauty? Companionship. I'm sure we could make a list. Do you know what Solomon asked for? Discernment. Every time I read this passage, I marvel at his answer. I mean, could you imagine if you go home and if you're like me on Sunday, Sunday afternoon is the best nap time in the entire week. And so it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you take a nap, and about by 2:45, when you're good and asleep, you have a dream. And you're asked the very same question from God that Solomon was asked. Ask what you want, and it's yours. I marvel that he had the wherewithal to ask for discernment. And there, I think, lies the lesson for us and maybe even the character to emulate. His answer is impressive, first, because Solomon was aware that there were things that he did not know, which is really the beginning of wisdom. Can you imagine what our life would be like if we live with that basic understanding about ourselves? That there actually are things that we don't know, or maybe some things that we cannot do. I wonder what problems we would omit or forfeit. Because there always exists inside of each and every one of us a temptation to live over our skis. To fake it. To present to others around us one sense of who we are, when knowing full well the real person that we are is completely different. And the struggle for us is when there's such a distance between the two that we act as if we know it all. It's not weakness to acknowledge that there actually are things that you do not know or cannot do. Actually, it's the beginning of self-awareness. A person to know who they are, what they can do, what they can't do. I mean, how do we expect to improve on things that need to be improved if you don't know where even to start? For so much of my adult life, this is where I lived. I thought that it set with me that I had to have an answer for everything. And what I believed is that if I didn't have an answer for everything, or if there was something that I could not do, that somehow, but compared to others, then that would be a level of weakness, or at least some difference. And often, and it pains me to admit it, I would make decisions out of that weakness, and 100% of the time, they would come back to bite me. It's amazing how that happens. I think Ellsworth Callis, some of you have read his book, says, if experience is such a good teacher, how come I keep repeating the course? It's right. Years ago, there's a friend of mine who pastors a church down on the Georgia coast. We were having lunch and just catching up, and there was a person in his church that taught him a phrase that I've kept with me ever since that luncheon. I can't, but I can. Just the understanding that there's certain things that one cannot do, and just because they cannot do it doesn't mean that they can't do something else that might even be more effective. But you have to know the difference. There's actually great freedom in knowing I can't, but I can. From time to time, I counsel couples. I wished every couple understood this. And the earlier they could own this in their marriage or in their relationship, the better their life would be. You cannot be all things to all people. Sometimes it's hard enough just being it to one. And so discernment is knowing the difference. There will always be things that we cannot do. There will always be things that we should not do. And discernment is to know the difference. Some of you who are familiar with British history know the name of John Jewell. 16th century. He's was a bishop of Salisbury. Some of you have traveled to that cathedral. He lived in a time, very tumultuous time, in the British religious history where Britain was being divided between those who would land on the side of Catholicism and those that would embrace Anglicanism or Protestantism. And John Jewell was caught right in the middle. And if you study his life, you know that there were periods in his life where he was exiled, and then he returned, and then he was on the run, and then he would find harbors of safety. But his writings became the foundation that the Anglican Church would stand on. Methodism comes out of the Anglican Church. And he wrote this about his life and about discernment. He said there's really two sources when it comes to discernment. One is understanding of the Bible. He said the second is a prayer for understanding and knowledge. And he said both of those complement each other. Now, he lived at a time without GPS, and he said when both of those are held together in perfect harmony, they become, for a captain of a ship, like the North Star. When you don't know what's ahead of you, you cannot see the horizon, but if you can fix your course on the North Star, then you can find your way back home. Solomon knew that there was much that he did not know, and that he would abuse his wealth, abuse his power, if he did not have discernment. And I am convinced we are no different. Because all of us in here have power. You have the ability to influence another person and to know what to do and when to do it is critical. Not only that, what we see about Solomon in his prayer for discernment, he desired discernment because it came with a purpose. I don't know if you saw that in the text. Teach me so that I can govern properly, that I can lead others by knowing the difference between right and wrong. Now, what that tells us is that discernment is relational. For Solomon, his prayer was a relational request over a personal benefit. Not long life, not wealth, not for God to rid him of all of his enemies. I hope you caught part of the children's sermon. That word picture in the Old Testament for discernment is being able to hear with your heart. The organ for obedience in the Old Testament, it's the ear. What Solomon is praying for is, I want my heart to have ears, so that I will know the difference between right and wrong. I mean, imagine what your life would be like if you made your decisions with the thought about those that are around you. See, often when we think about righteousness and we think about obedience, we see it in individual terms. It's my righteousness or my obedience. It's what I do. What you do is completely different. You just can't justify that with the Old Testament. Both of those are held together. Yes, you do control your own actions, but they're not in a silo. When it comes to living out your faith, we live out our faith mindful that we do it, our own actions, our own commitments, but we do it with measurement around those who are beside us. That's Solomon's prayer. Lord, I want to know the difference between right and wrong because I know my individual actions will influence everybody else that I touch, that I lead, that I influence. And he started with at least enough self-awareness to say there might be some things I do not know and I cannot do. And so I'm going to need your help. There are a ton of prayers. We're working through a sermon series on prayer, just highlighting different types of prayer. This is one we have to own to know the difference. I mean, think about the words that you would not speak or the actions that you would not commit. Righteousness is just as much an individual concept as it is a relational concept. And at some point, we have to realize the value of them. It is okay to acknowledge there are some things you don't know and some things you cannot do. Sound judgment. It's not knowing everything. Sound judgment is knowing the difference. That's self-awareness. So the prayer this morning, oh Lord, show me the way of righteousness, so that what I do, it affects those around me, and it's for my benefit as much as it is for theirs. Cannot help another person, really help another person, if we don't know the difference. So may it be for you, my friends. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let's pray. Oh God, we hold this prayer, and on one level, maybe it's something that we can't relate to, having the keys to a literal kingdom where you are sovereign. But I bet if we sit with it for a moment, we realize that we're not too far from it. What we do, what we say, it matters. How we act, it matters. And what's been pounded into our head from either a little boy or a little girl is really, it's just about me, an individual. And yet, we see from you that it is about us, and it's also about others. Help us to learn this prayer, and not to give it lip service, but to allow it to be like breathing. Inhale, exhale. Lord, show me the way. And then give us the strength and the courage to follow. Oh God, this is our prayer, and we pray this in your name. Amen. I want to invite you, if you would, to take hymn books again and turn with me to hymn number 381. Our hymn of consecration is Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. I invite you to stand as you're able as we sing together.
Shepherd, lead us, for we need thy tender.
Now may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his face and his countenance and give you rest and peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. You are dismissed.